Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about taking a journey as a church and saying that our mission as a community, the reason that we gather every week, is to engage God in the story of life. Where are we and where are we going? And as a church, we bind our lives together in a covenant relationship with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that we collectively can make a difference. God has blessed us that we may go out and be a blessing to others. And when we remember the saints of our lives, when we remember people like Charlie Pickering, and we remember people like Malin Faust, and we remember those wonderful saints that quickly come to mind, it's because they made a difference in our lives. They lived out the story that God has been telling. And it captured our attention, and it captured our imagination, and it changed the course of our lives. But it also causes us to pause. It also should cause us to take a step back and perhaps reflect. What am I doing? How is my life making a difference? How am I a part of this community? Am I adding into the story that is being told? How am I sharing what's happening? And throughout our study, we're talking about entering into that covenant relationship. And Israel, in the time of the patriarchs, Israel had kind of forgotten what God's story was. They had made other choices, and they had gone down different paths. Their prosperity had begun to overtake them, and they had begun to be proud of all that they had accomplished and forgotten what God's mission for them was. And so through the prophet Jeremiah, God presents them with this image of this tree, if you will. It's a metaphor for the choices that we make in life about what you're going to feed into your life or what you're going to take away. And so in the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart always who turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." Now, some of you have traveled widely, and I know that you've been out west. You've seen the desert parts of the United States, and maybe some of you have probably even been to the Great Salt Lake in Utah. And you've seen what desert places are like, and you know that what it's like to try and grow anything in salt flats. It's a desolate place. It's empty. It's devoid of life and of flourishing. And through the prophet Jeremiah, God is saying, by the choices that you make, if you're going to trust in your own abilities, if you're going to trust in your own strength, eventually it will become devoid of life and of joy and of happiness. It'll be empty. It won't flourish. On the other hand, he says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree that is planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. Never fails to bear fruit, no matter the uncertainty. And we live in times that are changing at the speed of an electron. Technology is changing all the time, and We don't know what's going to happen with the government. We don't know what's going to happen with the economy. It's changing, and yet there's a calm assurance. People that trust in what God is doing are bearing fruit all the time. And so we have come to that moment as a church, and we have to ask the question, which of these two is our story? Not which one do you want it to be, but which one is it? Are we bearing fruit? Are we flourishing? We're green and joyful and celebrating with forgiveness and grace? Or are we kind of like the salt flats, parched and empty and dry? It's a choice that God sets before us. Choose wisely, he said, for it will be your destiny. And so we've come to that place of saying we are people that are making a difference. We want to be people that are blessing and bearing fruit to feed other communities. And we have so many ministries that are reaching out and want more people to be a part of that joyful celebration, to sit under the shade of a beautiful tree that we offer in our fellowship. If you haven't gotten your covenant packet, all the information that you need to be a part of that story is out here in the chapel area. I want you to be a part of that. I want you to be a part of that story. And this morning we're going to take the next step and say, last time we talked about naming your idols. What are those things that are that will sap your energy and your strength, that will divert your attention? And this morning we want to talk about the problems that we can run into when our prosperity can run away from us. God's word is here to instruct us and to teach us and to guide us. Let us now engage with what God has in store for us. Will you join with me as we share what's on the screen? This is God's word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's a time when Moses is speaking to the people. As they are meandering through the desert, preparing for the promised land, Moses is looking into the future and he sees some dangers and some warning signs. And he wants his people to be aware as they go forward of how to live healthy lives. Listen to what Moses says. God will form you as people holy to him, just as he promised you. If you keep the commands of God, your God, and live the way he has shown you, all the peoples of earth will see you living under the name of God and hold you in respectful awe. God will lavish on you good things, children from your womb, offspring from your animals, and crops from your land, the land that God promised your ancestors that he would give you. God will throw open the doors of his sky vaults and pour rain on your land on schedule and bless the work you take in hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't have to take out a loan. God will make you the head, not the tail. You'll always be the top dog, never the bottom dog, as you obediently listen to and diligently keep the commands of God, your God, that I am commanding you today. Don't swerve an inch to the right or to the left from the words that I have commanded you today by going off and following and worshiping other gods. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we gather this morning to reshape and reform our lives according to the example of Christ. Guide us, shape us, and speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Back, I think, in the mid-80s, there was a movie involved Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. Maybe you've seen it, called Romancing the Stone. It's a story about a writer that goes to Colombia to kind of rescue her sister. And on the way there, her bus is hijacked and she's put out on foot. But she went on this trip like perhaps any New Yorker. She went with two huge suitcases full of clothes prepared for her trip. But now she finds herself in the middle of a jungle. And she comes upon Michael Douglas, the character Michael Douglas plays, who is kind of this rough and ready guy, and he's going to guide her through the jungle. But the first thing that he realizes is the last thing that you need going through the jungles of Colombia are high heels and carrying two big suitcases. And so he says to her, he says, you need to lighten the load. You can't carry all of this stuff through the jungle. We're not going to get anywhere. And so she does what anybody might have done. She opens up her suitcase and she starts going through and says, well, you know, maybe I don't need that blouse, and maybe I don't need that dress here in the jungle. And She packs up and she's lightened the load a little bit. She's still got these two suitcases. And Michael Douglas, who knows the jungle, knows what they're going to face, looks at her and he takes her one suitcase and he throws it over the cliff. Grabs the other one and throws it over the cliff. He says, now we're all lightened up. Now we can go through the jungle. That story always has kind of captured me because I find that so often we do that through our lives. We try to collect all these things that we think we're going to need, all these possessions and all these securities that we're going to need, and we carry them around and we kind of even lug them around. And sometimes it isn't even just possessions. It's bad memories. It's things that we wish we'd have said but we didn't, things we wish we'd have done but didn't, and we carry them around and we lug them around. And finally we encounter somebody who says, we need to lighten that load. And so we take little bits and pieces, but we still carry them around. And I think what God wants to do, and what certainly what Moses is talking to his people is, you got to just throw that stuff away. But when we start collecting more and more, when we start believing that there's more strength and more power in what we possess, there are all of these things that begin to get deep within us that bind us to this earth and make life just such a chore that we lose the joy of going following the Master as he leads forward. And so what we find and what Moses is talking about is that be forewarned about the dangers of having plenty, the problems of having too much stuff. It's like carrying around suitcases all of your life, trying to be free, but never really letting go of the things that bind you to this earth. So this morning we want to talk about the problems that come with plenty. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God is speaking to his people, and I believe that he's even speaking to those of us here in our church, in our community. He's speaking to his people in Williamstown, in Marietta, in Parkersburg. Listen to what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, when you build pleasant homes and you settle in, when you see more and more money come in and you watch your standard of living going up, make sure that you don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God, your God. In this passage, he's giving us a warning sign. It's like going down the highway and there's this warning sign that says, warning, bridge out. If you keep going down this path, eventually it's going to catch up with you. When you start making your possessions have more value than people or relationships, it's going to catch up with you. Be forewarned. What Moses is talking about is we scatter seeds. Seeds of possessions that eventually bear fruit. And the first thing that all of our possessions eventually do is they create in us a sense of arrogance. We sow those seeds of arrogance. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at all of my stuff. Look at my new car. Look at my new house. Look at all of this stuff that I own. We become even more narcissistic about who we are. Look at me. And if you've ever known people, or if you have that little inkling, you know that it doesn't satisfy for very long. You get something new and it's bright and shiny, but eventually the shine fades and you need something else to take its place. Pretty soon you got a promotion, but that wasn't good enough. You're looking for the next one. It's an endless cycle, an endless loop that never ends. And God says, be forewarned. You're sowing seeds of arrogance, of superiority. Now, the danger is in all of this is for all of the people to become arrogant. And when that happens, our relationships fracture. We're not able to relate to one another until we have a sense of community that binds us together. By sharing of our gifts for a mission, for a purpose, we come together as people to recognize that God is doing something mighty in us. Moses' words are not just obey my commands because God's got you under his thumb. It's because you can't live together any other way. If everybody here in this room has decided to do their own thing, to do it their own way, the way they imagined. None of us could work together. None of us could live together. It's only by sharing of our stories and our possessions together that we share our lives, that we're able to grow as a community. Be aware of the seeds of arrogance that we're sowing. We also sow seeds of indulgence. If a little bit is good, even more is better. The idea of what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? Surely whatever is going to happen in our relationships, I ought to get something out of it. I love this quote that you'll find in your sermon notes by Henry Ford. Money doesn't change people. Did you get that? Money doesn't change people. It merely unmasks them. If a man is naturally selfish or arrogant or greedy, the money will bring that out. That's all it does. I don't know if they still do it, but a couple of months ago, I saw that they were coming out with like a new TV show. And what they were going to do in this show is they were going to go to all of these families and follow the stories of the families in kind of a real-life drama of what happened to the families that won the lottery. Now think about that for a minute. Here we have a family that has just an immediate influx of cash, of power. But money doesn't change them. It just reveals what's inside. And what you find is over and over again, the families disintegrate, not just in a little way, but oftentimes they implode with disastrous results. So why do we pursue that course in our own lives? Why do we pursue something that we know will be disastrous? We sow those seeds of indulgence, of saying, a little bit is good, more must be better. Oftentimes, more is a disaster waiting to happen. What are we doing with our possessions? Do we want more of them because it's about us? Or are we able to share what God has given to us? And finally, the seeds of our possessions ultimately will create despair. The one thing that we put all of our trust into, our power, our personality, our privilege, what people think of us, eventually will cause despair. And if you don't believe me, just read what Solomon wrote. Solomon was perhaps the wisest and certainly one of the richest men that had ever lived. And he said, I want to test what joys can happen from all of my wealth and all of my power and all of my privilege. And he said, I'm not going to deny myself anything. I'm going to build at my heart's content. I'm going to have more relationships than anybody should. I'm not going to deny myself any kind of food or any kind of pleasure. Whatever I imagine, that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to write it down and tell you what life is really all about. His final analysis, it's all a chasing after the wind. It's empty. All of my possessions, everything that I've tried to do is empty. And eventually in Ecclesiastes, he said, and I hated life, for it was grievous to me. It was a burden to me. I had no meaning, no purpose. I had all of this wealth, but eventually it's going to go to somebody else and nobody's going to remember me. What was the point of it all? The seeds of despair. If we put all of our eggs in that possessions basket, ultimately it will lead to despair. So what do we do? I don't want to make this such a downer that you kind of go and say, wow, that was horrible. What else can we do? What is God giving you these blessings for? Now, whenever we start talking about stewardship, there's an immediate response. Everybody thinks it's about money because that's the most important thing to us and the thing that we want to protect the most. But stewardship is really about the commitment that we have to the mission of God. It's about giving everything that we have to the disposal of what God wants to do. Everything that we have belongs to Him. Everything that we are, everything that we're wearing, everything that we call our own, ultimately belongs to God. And we will leave it to God. Stewardship is the recognition that I have bought in, whole hog, if you will, to the story that God is telling. I'm all in. For any of you that have ever been a part of the military or have seen the ceremonies, It's never a part-time thing. You can never really be a part-time soldier. You're all in. Everything that you have, your future, everything is part of that mission that you've committed yourself to. We're about what God is all about. Stewardship is offering everything that we have and just laying it before God. Say, this is all yours because I believe in the power of your message and your resurrection. In Moses' story, he tells the people, if you commit to that story, if you commit to what God is doing, here are the things God is willing to give you. And so you have to make this decision. Which one? What do you want? He said, the first thing that you're going to get by offering God everything is you're going to get a calling. You're going to get a calling. What is your life about? At the very beginning of Moses' writings, he said, God is going to form you into a holy people. You're being formed into holy people. You're going to be different than the people that are around you. You have a mission that's going to be different and distinct. You're going to live not for just the moment, but for the eternal rewards that God has in store for you. What is your calling in life? The second thing he said, you're going to have a sense of confidence. Did you notice in that writing that Moses, time after time, says, your God? He drives home the point that God, your God, it's a personal relationship. You're going to know God in a deep, fundamental way. Not just as the Almighty that is out there, but as a personal relationship that's going to define your life and your future. He's going to give you control. Your resources are no longer going to control your finances, and your debt is no longer going to control your destiny. What other people say or what it says on TV that you ought to be buying or wearing is going to control you. You have a mission. You have a purpose that needs to be fulfilled. And I love this part. Your life will make a difference. It will contribute. Moses said, when other people watch you, how you use your resources, what you do with your time and your talents, they're going to be in awe. They're going to say, they're not like everybody else. They have a commitment. They live by their commitments. They actually live by their words. They don't just say it, they live it. And in a society like ours, that's going to stand out. That's going to be different. And what God is saying is, I want to create a people that are going to be holy, going to be different. They're going to be an example for the community of values, of morality, of hope, and of real calling, of living out a mission to change the world. And so this morning, when we think about our possessions, do they control you or do you control them? Moses said, be forewarned. Don't step off just an inch to the left or the right. It's a disaster waiting to happen. When you start thinking, they all belong to me. Look at everything that I've achieved. Then you start making yourself, putting yourself in the place of God. And none of us are ready for that role. I want to end this morning by a passage that we offered up last week from Alexis de Tocqueville in 1830. He looked at the United States and he said, the incomplete joys of this world will never satisfy the human heart. No matter how much you want to put it in to your job or your career or your possessions, it's always incomplete. It's eating cotton candy. For a time, it'll be pleasurable, but it'll fade. And it's that emptiness that we're longing for to be filled, that constant pursuit. It's that covenant with fulfilling God's mission. Stay on course. Know what God is doing in your life. Know the stewardship, the mission that God has called you to. Make that covenant and join the story that God is telling. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this morning for the opportunity to share our lives together. We pray, oh God, that you touch each and every one of us and reaffirm the story that you're telling in our own lives. Guide us, correct us, and change us, that we may feel your presence this morning and always. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.